Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Buffalo. It is 9-11 here in the studios of WBEN. Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach. Sandy is still off cruising the West Coast. Where is he now, Tony?
I think they're wrapping it up right now.
Yeah?
Yeah, so he's going to probably be on his way home, I would guess, tomorrow.
Now, he really enjoys this, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I mean, he gets to hang out with Danny, Danny Neverth, his good buddy, and they meet new friends with our listeners. They really do have a great time, and not to mention they eat well.
I bet. You know, isn't that what it is with all these cruises? You want to be able to.
What
it's
good
all
is vacation
free.
If you can't eat well?
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
I mean, you were just in Florida, and one thing I asked you, did you eat well?
Yeah, you know, I was there 23 hours. I left just Tuesday and came back yesterday, and, you know, that's why I was off the air for a couple of days instead of being here working with Sandy, and working for Sandy, but, yeah, I mean, it's always interesting to go down there, especially when, you know, it's unbearably unseasonal here, you know, whether it's winter or a long, drawn-out transition to spring. Even 23 hours is great.
What's it like down there now, temperature-wise?
It was pushing. It was over 80.
Whoa!
And I wore a. I had meetings back to back when I was down there. I'm, you know, trying to pick up the pieces of my company, et cetera, after all this bogus Russia hoax. And things are moving fast, and I'm going from one meeting to the next, and I'm wearing, you know, a sport coat and an open collar, right? Nobody does that in Miami because it's just too hot. So I, at the, you know, by the second meeting, my sport coat was in the trunk, you know, and I'm sweating through the shirt, you know, and it's,
not just hot, it's also very humid down there, right?
And it's getting worse by the moment. But, you know, people in Florida deal. They go from an air-conditioned car to an air-conditioned, you know, office or an air-conditioned home, and they just live in the false security of air conditioning, you know. But, I mean, Cuban food, that's what I went with.
I got to try a Cuban sandwich.
Oh, they're incredible. One of my clients for the longest time, and I'm in discussions with them again, is a restaurant called Sergio's down in Miami area, South Florida. They're expanding up into Broward, which is Fort Lauderdale. Out of 9 or 10 restaurants, it's Cuban, and they've been around for I think 40 years. And every year they win. Well, you know, most years they win the best Cuban sandwich award, and that's a Cuban sandwich is a hard roll like a. You know, like a sub roll,
mm-hmm.
But they put on it roast pork. They put sliced ham, you know, mm-hmm. like cured ham, and pickles. It's just incredible, and I don't know what it is, And then they smash it. You know, they put it into a press. Yeah, and into a press, and they smash it a little. They don't make it into a pancake, and it's
almost
point
like
of pride.
A panini.
Exactly. Well, it's bigger. You know, right. It's like they don't smash it too much.
Right.
They have contests down there where, you know, restaurants from all over Florida will compete for the best Cuban sandwich because pretty much everybody makes them if they have at least a bit of a Latino spin on their cuisine. And the Miami contingent just turns their nose up at the Tampa contingent. And the Tampa contingent flips off the entire Miami. I mean, it's almost every year at the best Cuban sandwich a contest, there's almost a riot.
Really?
I mean, there are people like, you know, for, it starts out, you know, whose line is longer at the food truck for, you know, that's the big deal. They're counting people in the lines. And then when it, you know, turns out they, give the award for the best Cuban sandwich, nobody accepts the results. Nobody does. And I, when I was, I attended one of the best Cuban sandwich contests, like, I don't know, 4 years ago. And I swear to God, it's going to break out into a fight.
Well, then that's like up here. You cannot go out and say, okay, so-and-so has the best wings and this place has the best pizza. You're going to get an argument.
Yeah, and everybody's
and a passionate argument.
The Tampa people say the Cuban sandwich started here. And the Miami people say, no, the Cuban sandwich started here. And, of course, most of the Cubans, I mean, there are many more Cubans in Miami than Tampa, but there's a good contingent in Tampa, too. And even the history of the Cuban sandwich is a point of contention. I mean, it's intense. But the bottom line is, it's an incredible sandwich. And I believe Sergio's has a, when I was working for him before, Sergio's put a restaurant in the Fort Lauderdale airport. And when I get off the plane, I don't care what time it is. When I get off the plane, I go directly into the Sergio's line and I get myself a Cuban sandwich. I could have just had lunch and I'll go get a Cuban sandwich. You know, because, you know, you pack it in your briefcase and you eat half of it now and half later, right? And then I went to this restaurant. I told you this before, Tony, before the show started. I found... Like, I, for the longest time, we had an apartment on Miami Beach because my PR company was founded there. Our main office was there. And we had to close all that down, the office, the apartment, because of this Russia investigation, how it destroyed my company. The next door, there was this kind of hotel, didn't look all that attractive, no balconies, small windows, didn't Crystal Beach Suites, it's called. And I could see that from the balcony of the apartment I rented. And I just wondered what was there. I saw families coming out, you know, not a lot of thugs. You know, I didn't know what was going on. And I figured I'd check it out. I go on, I don't know, hotels.com or whatever, $67 a night. Now, you know, $67 a night. I don't spend any time in my hotel room because I'm, you know, running and gunning all day long. I wake up early and I get going early in the day. I'm not in the hotel much. $67 a night. I don't care if it's a crack house. I'm going to give that a try. $67 a night. So I check in. It's a decent, you know, a decent lobby, etc. I get up to my room. It's a suite. It's got like the parents' room is a queen bed. Everything's old, you know, mattresses new, but you know, the furniture's old design, you know, lacquer furniture and stuff. And then you have the living room where they have a couch that folds out, you know, for the kids, and you have a kitchenette. $67 a night. I could not believe it. And, you know, a pool, a fitness center, right on the beach.
Well, I'm sure you were big on the fitness center.
Actually, I was. I was telling Tim on my way in, I injured myself yesterday working out. I injured myself thinking about working out, but I still count it as a working out injury. But, you know, I wake up early. Anybody who follows me on Facebook knows when I'm down there, I wake up early and I go for a sunrise walk or, you know, fast walk on the beach. I'm too old and decrepit and kneeless to run anymore. But I go for a good walk on the beach. I walk for about an hour, and it was just great. I mean, sun peeking up over the waves. It was perfect. Perfect. But it's good to be home and really good to be with everybody here on WBEN. We got some talking to do today. Be right back after these messages. Tony, I ran out of time in the last segment, Tony, but yesterday I was traveling back from Miami. Well, actually from Fort Lauderdale Airport to Buffalo. And it was like a study in human nature and human contrast. There were these people, I think from India or South Asia somewhere, and they were clearly a tourist group of some sort. And they didn't understand, I think, that... And on Southwest, you got to check in 24 hours before, and you get a seat number assigned, like a line number, not a seat, right? And if you check in late, you're going to be in the middle seat. And so they apparently all checked in when they arrived at the airport, and they all got like C-1012 is their like line number. And they all lined up in front of everyone else, a group of like 40 of them, you know? All, you know, perfectly nice people that didn't understand. And everybody in the line was like, oh, my gosh, these, you know, 35 people are kind of cut in front. And the Southwest staff, the best airline staff in the world, basically had to wrestle these people to the ground and move them in the back. And, of course, in the end, they ended up in the middle seat In every row, we had one of these tourists in the middle seat in every single row. I was just watching this. They were trying to muscle their way onto the plane, and it was just not working out for them. I ended up sitting next to this great Buffalo couple, Jim and Dawn. And Dawn was, she had just bought a new address book, and she was handwriting all the addresses from her old address book, which was also handwritten. And I got the biggest kick out of that because who's still using a handwritten address book? I mean, she is copying from what looked to be a perfectly good address book, right? She was just handwriting all of her friends' names and numbers and addresses into a new address book. And the same print, looked maybe she liked the book better. She got a new one. It was a gift. I just kept teasing her. I said, I'd lean over and I'd say, you know, you're only on D. This could take days. You know, and she'd laugh. And she tells me her son just graduated from RIT. Can you imagine the trouble he gives his mom about using a handwritten address book? Can you imagine? It's like, Mom. I asked her, I said, is a horse and buggy waiting to pick you up at the airport? Sweetest couple you ever met. They're really nice. She was gorgeous. And her husband, you know, Jim, clearly married up, you know. But they were funny. We had a blast. We were kind of giggling at the chaos of the tourist group that came on, not knowing that they hadn't registered. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's nearly a three-hour flight. I was home. I blinked my eyes, and I was home. I was having a nice chat with the people next to me, getting a kind of laugh. I mean, I know it's not nice to – it's like, what do the Germans call it, Schadenfreude or whatever, kind of like giggling at the trouble all these 35 tourists got. I felt – of course, at the end of the flight – I turned to Dawn and I said, look, I spent some time in India, and at the end of the flight, when the wheels touch down, this entire tour group is going to stand up. You know, how, you know, when you stand up, when they're still moving, the steward or the flight attendants actually, that's a big problem. You can hurt yourself. And so they're really serious about it. Sit down, sit down. I said, you just watch. They're all going to stand up. Sure enough, wheels hit the ground. The middle seat in every row stood up. And it's like the woman's on, no, you have to sit down. Please sit down. But none of them spoke English. So it was, you know, it was just such a comedy of errors the entire flight. But do you do an address book?
No. Everything's on my phone now.
Yeah. And I said, do you have a flip phone? You know, or are you, you know, do you communicate with smoke signals? I have no clue. If you don't, I think it's just something that you can't let go of. Like some kind of technique. She loves her address book. And I remember when I used to keep one, if you lose that thing, you're done. You're done. And if you want to have an extra copy, then you got to write it twice, right? Maybe you photocopy it or whatever, but maybe she doesn't believe in photocopiers either. I mean, I don't know. I'm completely addicted to technology. I'm a captive of technology. My entire life is wrapped around technology. The smallest things, are all technology now. But Dawn can't let go of her address book. I there are some things I can't let go of. That I just refuse to go. I mean, when I ran David Bellavia's congressional race, I guess it was 2012, and David, you know, I'd call him and he wouldn't pick up, right? And then he would text me something like 2-3 sentences, and I'd text back and say, David, I'm not a high school teenager. I'm not going to sit here and text with you. And so for the long, I did not want to text. And David's like, come on, it's like 2012. You're going to have to start texting, you old man, right? So now I'm texting more than Bellavia is.
I resisted for the longest time, too.
I know. I have no, I mean, it's an amazing, I mean, it's interesting to watch somebody struggle to hold on to their address book. What a great seatmates Jim and Dawn were yesterday. We'll be right back after these messages, ladies and gentlemen, here on News Radio WBEN. Don't know she can. Welcome back to Beach and Company. Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach here. 9:38 in beautiful downtown Amherst. It's Beach and Company. Sandy's off on coming to the end of his cruise and vacation. And I expect he's looking forward to getting back to work. He probably, like most people, can only really enjoy so much time away from something he does with such a passion. One of the texters at 30930 says, Michael, I was on a flight like that. I mentioned a flight in the last segment that I was on late yesterday to come home from Florida, where a bunch of people were breaking the rules. He says, Michael, I was on a flight like that, and they all wouldn't understand that you can't form a line at the bathroom, and the flight attendants announcing all that. And it's a good thing I wasn't a flight attendant, because I would not have had the patience that the Southwest people did with the people who didn't understand English. It was interesting because, you know, it was 35 people. I don't know. Maybe there's 100 seats on this plane, right? 35 of them not speaking English, or at least pretending that they're not, trying to get on before everybody else. And the Southwest staff was – they had to actually send away for what looked like, a gate officer who was about 6'3", 6'2" in Fort Lauderdale. And, he's a Southwest employee with the shirt and the name tag. And, there were just two women at the gate, and the crowd of these tourists was pressing forward, and they were getting their backs to the gate. And all of us in line were like, what the heck is going on here? And all of a sudden, this big, tall guy came up, and they backed up. And it was as if culturally they were not going to listen to a woman. And they were all speaking what I recognized as Hindu. But they wouldn't listen to the women. But when the big man came in and said, back up, boy, that was like ding, ding, ding. It was like they just backed right up. But, I've got to tell you, we just had a major announcement from New York City Mayor William de Blasio this morning. He is now running for President of the United States. I think that makes him number 742 from the Democrat side. But it's a suicide run for de Blasio, complete and absolute suicide one. He's the RNC communications director, who's a friend of mine, put out something today. He said, Bill de Blasio is a liberal extremist who wants the government to control everything from your health care to what you eat. Americans, you remember, he banned Big Gulps.
Soda, yeah.
Yeah, in New York City. Americans can rest assured that he won't win, but unfortunately his socialist policies fit in with the rest of his comrades in the race. Remember this, he said he is an extreme environmentalist. He wants to actually ban skyscrapers made of glass or steel and phase out meat consumption.
Well, he wants to turn New York City into bedrock.
Yeah, he does. Exactly right. You know, his time as mayor of New York, it's been just absolutely plagued with scandal, from pay-to-play allegations that he's giving donors preferential treatment on New York City contracting, especially developers. And he also killed a groundhog. Remember that? When he picked up the groundhog and it got all squirrely on him, and he dropped it dead. It was on Groundhog Day. He was trying to mimic the Punxsutawney ceremony down in Pennsylvania. Even the people, nobody really wants him to run. Nobody does. Nobody in New York City, something like 67% of the people in New York City don't want him to run for president. And his friends and allies are being quoted, anonymously saying, what the heck are you doing? One guy who supposedly one of his friends was quoted in a magazine saying it's an idiotic idea. Idiotic from one of his very close friends.
So this is his ego, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it really is. If you know anything about de Blasio, if you spent any time with him at all, he cannot believe that you are not on his side. He is a liberal's liberal. But what he has in his head or in his heart, you must believe it. You must agree with him, or you were just, you're filth. And remember, this guy is the one who honeymooned in Cuba, right? And admired the Sandinistas. Remember them? The communists who took over Nicaragua. Now, I went down there on, you know, the Reagan doctrine policy was to help fund the Contras, and I went down to work for the Contras on the border of Nicaragua and Honduras, and later on the border of Nicaragua and Costa Rica. And, you know, sometimes I would actually fly into Managua in order to do some political work inside Managua, helping with the resistance inside Managua. And one time, I was at an event, and there was this guy standing over there, a young guy, clearly an American, as oafish as he could be, it looked totally out of place, and he was head and shoulders taller than everybody. And I reached, you know, over to my buddy, and I said, "Who is that guy?" He said, "That's Bill de Blasio." He was actually working for the communist government, in support of the communist government in Managua, Nicaragua, during a time when they were absolutely declared enemies of the United States. Now, straight up collusion, ladies and gentlemen, straight up collusion, working for the communist government of Nicaragua. And undoubtedly, he's already, you know, in his writings, mused in his discussions, mused about Karl Marx and, you know, talked about his admiration for the Sandinistas. But my buddy who I was with, who was working with the Contras with me, we kind of, you know, the Sandinistas knew who we were, so we were followed everywhere we went in Managua. But he was like, apparently de Blasio was out in the jungle or out in the field or, you know, helping build a dam or something. He was out someplace where, in a war zone. And my buddy was out with the Sandinistas. Out with the Contras who had surrounded this position. And there's de Blasio. And there was a debate among the Contras, the sharpshooters, who is the tall guy? And they're looking at him, apparently looking at him, you know, thinking about, is he a target? And my buddy's like, no, that's an American. He's not a target. That's an American. Leave him alone. You know, and they're in the hills above the group, right? And he talked him out of, well, making him a hero. And this guy he's going to be the next president of the United States. How about that? I mean, as one texter said at 30930, God help us if he gets the nomination. But let's be real clear. De Blasio right now is being investigated for the misappropriation of millions of dollars. And, you know, in the middle of an investigation, he decides to run for president of the United States. It's not just hubris. It's, what's the right word for it?
How about brain dead?
He's not brain. He's really a bright guy, but he can't see his hand in front of his face. He's so motivated by his ego and his ideology that he can't see the very obvious problem that he's under investigation. He is, you know, he's not even going to make 1% of the vote.
Gillibrand has a better chance than
Gillibrand, who, by the way, I guess they were talking about yesterday on Bowerly and Bellevue, is now trying to pass herself as a young mother. I mean, she's 52 years old, and she's calling herself a young mother. I feel young at 57. I would never call myself a young dad. You know, my kids are younger than hers, but a young mother, right? That part of the field, that far left part of the field, is so crowded, you know, with Elizabeth Warren and all the others who were running from the
far left.
So it's
going to come down to who can out-socialist who.
Right, and in the end, when you know, the Democratic nomination process is controlled by leftists, the Republican nomination process is controlled by right-wingers, that's because they're usually the ones that are most passionate. They're on the polar opposites, right? So de Blasio is competing for that part of the cake, right? He's going to get a tiny little slice. And here's the thing that people in New York City are not going to be able to take. In order to participate in the big boy debate, because they are now, 22 candidates, and they're probably going to be more. They can't have all those people on one stage. You will not get a debate. It won't actually be anything productive at all, so they have to split it up. In order to get on the stage with the main debate, you got to poll above 1%, and you got to raise a certain amount of money. Bill de Blasio has no money. He has proven he has a PAC he's been raising money for. He can't raise money. and he polls like in negative numbers. When the people of New York City understand that the mayor of their proud home, the largest city in America, right? The mayor of New York City doesn't even make it to the adults' table. That's going to embarrass the city. Now, if you've been to New York recently, you understand that city has fallen into disrepair completely since Giuliani left the mayoralty. Completely.
Don't they have a homeless problem now?
Terrible homeless problem. It's one that Bill de Blasio hasn't dealt with. You know, municipal housing is falling apart to the point of billions of dollars worth of repairs that are waiting. They're waiting for. It is a shambles. You drive to Donald Trump Jr. yesterday posted a video. He was driving along in a taxi cab in New York or whatever, and he took out his iPhone and he filmed the side of the street as they were driving along, and it was like it was shot in San Francisco. Like all this garbage and feces and everything on the side of the street. Not only was it there, it wasn't being cleaned up, right? New York City is a wreck. And Bill de Blasio wants to be president. Isn't that precious? We'll be right back after these messages. Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach here on Beach & Company. It is 9:55. I was really glad to pick up the weather today and check it out because there was a strange orange thing in the sky I noticed.
We have investigators working on that right now, Michael, and as soon as we can properly identify what it is, we'll let you know.
I've been Googling on the commercial breaks, and it's called something like, I think it's called the Soon. That's how, I don't know the pronunciation. The Soon.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with that.
Yeah.
But we're looking into it. We got a crack team of investigators.
You know, all my excuses for not cutting my lawn—they're all gone.
Got to dry out. I mean, you can't go and cut mud.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how your lawn is as far as highlands and lowlands. Like my backyard is still underwater.
I could, I'm in East Aurora. My front lawn is the size of a postage stamp, right? I could cut it with a butter knife, you know, and not even have to get on my knees.
Lucky.
I know.
I cut yesterday and got caught in the rain. I at least got the front done.
Well, the backyard's
I got a little
big.
Wet.
The backyard's big enough where I need a lawnmower, but, you know, nobody's looking at my backyard when they're walking by or going to church. You know, you got to have your front lawn, you know, pretty well
front
cut.
Front lawn has to get done. Like I said, I got two cuts on my front, not once in the – I can't even step foot on the back lawn. It's just a giant sponge.
Yeah, yeah. 30930 is our text board. One listener reacting to the news of Dog Day at Salem Field. Where will all those dogs be going to the bathroom? My goodness. There's a good question.
Hopefully before the game.
That's right. That's right. You tell Fido, go to the bathroom now because we're not stopping. Let's check out what Rush is up to.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.